Good afternoon, everyone. Good to see all those who are willing and able to come back this afternoon to study another portion of God's Word. The last time I spoke on Sunday afternoon, I gave a chapter study on the 19th chapter of Judges, which is probably one of the strangest accounts that we will find in both the Old and the New Testament. I'll kind of paraphrase what happened there briefly to understand what happens in the last two chapters. I want to mention right before anything else, though, when we start, the last verse in the book of Judges, the last verse of the last chapter, which, give me 1 second. I'm going to have to get this other paper because this page is missing some notes. Excuse me, I apologize for that. The last verse in the book of Judges is, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, this phrase is repeated several times throughout the book of Judges. This time period was after Joshua had taken over the leadership of the children of Israel from Moses and led the children of Israel into the promised land. They conquered most of that land and drove most of the people out. And the book of Judges takes place in a time between when Joshua died and eventually what would transpire shortly after this time is when the Jews would demand a king and God would give them a king. And we see the various results that they got from that, some good. Most of the time, it was quite the opposite. And when we look at the 19th chapter of the book of Judges, some people may question why was something like this even included in the Bible. And what we're going to see is the verses, chapters 20 and 21 reveal the consequences of these kind of things being allowed to happen. In verse 19, we saw the story of a Levite who had, he was married, but he also had a concubine. This is like a lower wife, or secondary wife is how that person was classified. He had taken this woman, and she had left him and gone back to her father, and he went to her father's house to get her, and eventually he's traveling back to where he was staying at that time, which was in the mountains, and I'll think of the name of it in a second, where he was at. But he was traveling back that way, and it was night. And it was getting late, and the person that was traveling with him suggested that they stop in a pagan city. It was a city, it was Jerusalem, I believe, or near there, where they hadn't driven out all the pagans and the Gentile people out of the land of Egypt, as God had told them through Joshua. And so they bypassed that town, and they went to a town that was occupied by people from the tribe of Benjamin. And they thought, you know, these are our countrymen, these are fellow Jews, we're going to be safe. And they found out that quite the opposite was true. They were staying at this house, and some of the men of this city who were homosexuals came, and they wanted the Levite. They wanted to take him and to do the horrible things that you can imagine would happen to him. And instead, they sent out his concubine, and they took her, and they physically assaulted her and beat her to the point to where she eventually was dropped back at that house and died on the doorstep. And then the Levite, and one of the stranger things that we'll see in the Bible, took her body and cut it into 12 pieces and sent it out amongst the 12 tribes of Israel to illustrate to them the evil that was being done in this town of Benjamin and how far away they had gotten from the things that God would have them to do. And we realize that the book of Judges is compromised with stories of how Israel would drift away from the things that God wanted them to do. This is after the time of the Exodus. They had the Ten Commandments. They had all the laws and the ordinances that God had given to Moses had been passed down to the people, and they've been enforced through Joshua. But now people are kind of on their own. They're like a ship without a rudder, and they make decisions about how things should happen. And often these decisions are very poorly done, as we're about to see when we get into the following, the final two chapters of Judges. We'll begin reading Judges chapter 20 in verse 1. And we're going to see where sometimes the phrase is used that the punishment is worse than the crime. And we're going to see that's what happens here. And as horrible as the crime was, and it's hard to imagine that it could be worse, it was. Judges, chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man, from Dan even to Beersheba, with the land of Gilead, and unto the Lord in Mizpah. And the chief of all the people, even of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, "Tell us, how was this wickedness?" And the Levite, the husband of the woman who was slain, answered and said, "I came into Geba that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine, to lodge. And the men of Geba rose up against me and beset the house round about upon me by night, and thought to have slain me and my concubine have they forced, that she is dead. And I took my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. Behold, ye are all children of Israel, give here your advice and counsel." And all the people arose as one man, saying, "We will not any of us go to his tent, neither will any of us turn into his house. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Geba. We will go up by lot against it, and we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000, to fetch victual for the people, that they may do, when they come to Geba to Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have wrought to Israel." So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribes of Benjamin, saying, "What wickedness is this that is done among you? Now herefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Geba, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel." But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Geba, to go out to battle against the children of Israel. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew sword. Beside the inhabitants of Geba, they were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all these people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Every one could sling stones at a hair breadth and not miss. And the men of Israel besides Benjamin were numbered 400,000 men that drew sword. All these were men of war. So now you have this situation where this man's wife is molested and killed, and now you have all these people getting ready to go to war over this. The Benjamites had 26,000 men. The rest of the tribes of Israel had 400,000 men. The Levite here relates the story of what happened to him, and they've decided that they need to punish these men of Benjamin that committed this crime. And so they set out to rectify the situation and to punish those men. But Benjamin won't release those men to them for a trial and punishment that fits the crime that they committed. So now they're going to start a war. The Benjamites, it said, had 700 men who were proficient with slings. Now, we know a sling and a rock is the weapon that David used to slay Goliath. And just as a kind of an interesting side note, some of the research I read on this said that they would often use a lead ball in these slings, and it was said that they could throw these rocks or these slings with such a velocity that the lead would actually soften and start to melt because of the friction of it going through the air. So you can imagine a nice-sized ball of lead that's nearly melted hitting you. You're not gonna walk away from an injury like that. So these were kind of the equivalent of snipers. And because of this, we're going to see that the Benjamites, even though they were vastly outnumbered, were very effective in their fight against the children of Israel. We'll continue now in chapter 20, verse 18. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, "Which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up first." And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Geba. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Geba. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Geba and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord, even until even, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother?" And the Lord said, "Go up against him." And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Geba the second day, and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. So the mistake that the Jews made here is, instead of going to God and asking God's direction and trying to find out what God thought they should do about this situation, they just went and they had already made up their minds. Excuse me. There was going to be a war, and so they instead of asking God what they should do, they asked God which tribe they should send into battle first, and He told them to send Judah, and so they lost 22,000 men, and the next day they went back and lost another 18,000 men, and these things again. Now all these people are dying because of this thing, this one situation that happened. With this woman being killed. We'll continue reading in verse 26 of Judges, chapter 20. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came into the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, "Shall I yet again go to battle against the children of Benjamin my brother, or shall I cease?" And the Lord said, "Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand." And Israel set liers in wait around about Geba. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in array against Geba as at other times. And the children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city, and they began to smite of the people and kill as of the other times, in the highways of which one goeth up to the house of God, and the other to Geba in the field, about 30 men of Israel. And the children of Benjamin said, "They are smitten down before us as at the first." But the children of Israel said, "Let us flee and draw them from the city into the highways." And all the men of Israel rose up out of their place and put themselves in array at Baltimar, and the liers in wait of Israel came forth out of their places, even out of the meadows of Geba. And there came against Geba 10,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and the battle was sore, but they knew not that evil was near to them. And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed of the Benjamites that day 25,000 and 100 men. All these drew the sword. So the children of Benjamin saw that they were smitten, for the men of Israel gave place to the Benjamites, because they trusted into the liers in wait which they had set beside Geba. And the liers in wait hasted and rushed upon Geba, and the liers in wait drew themselves along and smote all the city with the edge of the sword. Now there was an appointed sign between the men of Israel and the liers in wait, that they should make a great flame with smoke rise up out of the city. And when the men of Israel retired in the battle, Benjamin began to smite and to kill the men of Israel, about 30 persons, for they said, "Surely they are smitten down before us as in the first battle." But then the flame began to rise up out of the city with a pillar of smoke. The Benjamites looked behind them, and behold, the flame of the city ascended up to heaven. And when the men of Israel turned again, the men of Benjamin were amazed, for they saw that evil has come upon them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel under the way of the wilderness, but the battle overtook them, and them which came out of the cities were they destroyed in the midst of them. Thus they enclosed the Benjamites round about and chased them and trod them down with ease over against Geba, toward the sun rising. And there fell of Benjamin 18,000 men. All these were men of valor. And they turned and fled toward the wilderness under the rock of Rimmon. And they gleaned of them in the highways 5,000 men, and pursued after them unto Geban, and slew 2,000 men of them, so that all they which fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men that drew the sword. All these were men of valor. About 600 men turned and fled into the wilderness under the rock Rimmon, and abode in the rock Rimmon 4 months. And the men of Israel turned again upon the children of Benjamin and smote them with the edge of the sword, as well as men of every city and as the beast, and all that came to hand. Also they set on fire all the cities that they came to. So the Jews Finally, on the third day, approached God in a humble manner and asked God what they should do instead of deciding for themselves what they thought they should do. It's mentioned here that Phinehas, who was the son of Eleazar and grandson of Aaron, who was the high priest at that time, consulted with God, and they were told at this time when they went into battle that they would defeat the Benjamites. And it no longer became an issue of just punishing these men that had committed this crime. They were zealous to the point where they were going to wipe out the entire tribe of Benjamin, and only 600 men out of all the Benjamites were able to escape into the mountains. Excuse me. So the Jews were able to defeat them this time because of their guerrilla-type warfare, and they had men hiding that when they drew the Benjamites out of the city, the Jews could go in behind them and kill all the people that were in the city and destroy them. And so now these are Jews fighting against other Jews. These are God's people that are killing each other for no real significant reason other than just they're doing what they think is right. And that was the problem with the Jews throughout the book of Judges, is they did what was right in their eyes, and it's like the 11 tribes thought they were doing the right thing by punishing the Benjamites. The Benjamites thought they were doing the right thing by not releasing these men to be killed. And so everybody thought they were doing right, and in reality, none of them were doing right. I will continue now with Judges chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, "There shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife." And the people came to the house of God and abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices and wept sore, and said, "O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel?" And it came to pass on the morrow that the people rose early and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the children of Israel said, "Who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord?" For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord of Mizpah, saying, "He shall surely be put to death." And the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin their brother, and said, "This is one tribe cut off from Israel this day. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing that we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them our daughters to wives?" And they said, "What one is there of the tribe of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord?" And behold, there came none of the camp from Jebus Gilead to the assembly, for the people were numbered, and behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jebus Gilead there. And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest, and commanded them, saying, "Go and smite the inhabitants of Jebus Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children. And this is the thing that ye shall do: ye shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man." And they found among the inhabitants of Jebus Gilead 400 young virgins that had not known man by lying with any male, and they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. And the whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Rimmon, and to call peaceably unto them. And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives, which they had saved alive of the women of Jebus Gilead, and yet so they sufficed them not. And the people repented them for Benjamin, because the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. So, while it's not told earlier in the scriptures, apparently what had happened is when the Jews were getting ready to go and punish Benjamin, they had made a vow that they would not allow any of their daughters to marry anyone from the tribe of Benjamin because of this awful thing that the tribe of Benjamin had done. Now, we see other cases in the Bible and in ancient history. One that immediately comes to mind is the story of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, when some of Nebuchadnezzar's advisors that were jealous of Daniel concocted this plan to have Nebuchadnezzar decree that anyone who did not pray, or anyone who prayed to a god other than the false god that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, that they would be put to death. And of course, they realized they were going to be able to catch Daniel by this and to have him killed. And we know that story very well, how Daniel was put in the lion's den and he didn't die. But the part of that story that's important to what we're talking about now is Nebuchadnezzar regretted making this command or this vow But he wouldn't go back on it. And in those days and times, we realized that this is what people did. Often kings or leaders would make these kind of decisions, and then they would come to regret them later on when they realized oftentimes they were tricked into making this kind of a pronouncement or things of this nature. And when we relate that to the world now, we realize that we have leaders now of all different parties in different countries that will say one thing and then they'll do another thing. They lack integrity. And the only thing worse than not having leaders at all is having bad leaders. And we see that throughout the Old Testament when the Jews had kings that were evil and gave over to pagan ideas and things of this nature. So it's very important for us to understand how far away we can get if we don't follow the ultimate leader, of course, and that is God. So we see that they had made this vow and they weren't willing to go back on the vow that they had made. So now they come up with a plan to count everybody that came up there to that meeting and to see if there was anybody that didn't come. And they found out that there was a whole group of people that lived in, please excuse my pronunciation of that, Jabesh Gilead, I believe is how it's pronounced. This was an area near the tribe of Gilead and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and it's believed that people from the tribes of Gad and Reuben lived in this area as well. So this wasn't any one particular tribe. This was just an area where the Jews had settled, but none of the people from that area had come up to this meeting that all the Jews had sworn to participate in, and so they decided, we're going to go down there and we're going to kill all those people, and any young virgins that they have, we're going to take and we're going to give those women to the Benjamites so that they can repopulate their tribe and that there will remain the 12 tribes of Israel as God intended. And so they do this thing, but of course there's 600 men who survived the battle, or 600 Benjamites who survived and fled into the mountains. So now they found wives for 400 of them, but now they're 200 wives short. So now we're going to see what they did to fix that problem in their eyes anyway. They tried to fix it, but we realize it just caused even more problems and more heartache for people. Judges chapter 21, beginning verse 16. Then the elders of the congregation said, "How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin?" And they said, "There must be an inheritance for them that be escaped of Benjamin, that a tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. Howbeit, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, 'Cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin.'" Then they said, "Behold, there is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south of Lebona. Therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, 'Go and lie in wait in the vineyards, and see and behold if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances. Then come ye out of the vineyards, and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. And it shall be, when their fathers or their brethren come unto us to complain, that we shall say unto them, Be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserve not to each man his wife in the war, for ye did not give unto them at this time, that ye should be guilty. And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives according to their number, of them that danced, whom they caught, and they went and returned unto their inheritance, and repaired the cities, and dwelt in them. And the children of Israel departed thence at this time, every man to his tribe and to his family, and they went out from thence every man to his inheritance. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." So in order to recompense these other 200 Benjamites who didn't have wives, they're like, "We can't give you a wife, but you can take one." And then it's like the idea of, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. So there was a feast around this time. It's not named and it's not sure whether it was the Passover, Pentecost, or the Feast of Tabernacles, but all of these feasts occurred when the vineyards were full of leaves. They go through a season when the leaves fall off and then grow back, and so this was a time when all these feasts took place when the leaves were full and the Benjamites could hide. And a part of the celebration of these feasts at that time was the young virgins would go and dance. And he's like, when you see them dancing, grab one and take her, and she'll be your wife. And so that's how they tried to fix the problem that they created by starting this war. And so, again, we see that countless people died. Tens of thousands of people died because of this one situation. And it was everybody thought they were doing the right thing in trying to correct it. And we realized that it impacted many, many more lives of the people that had nothing to do with the situation were impacted by them trying to fix it. And the important thing, of course, again, is to remember is the last verse that all these things happened because men did what they thought was right. And we realize today that God has set a standard for what is right and wrong. The country we currently live in, the laws of this land pretty much reflect all, if not most, of the things that are also in God's law. But we realize there are other nations in the world that aren't that way. And we realize that as citizens of the kingdom of God, our first allegiance is unto God, and to not try to decide our own what we think is right or agree with what man says is right if it conflicts with the things that God tells us to do. So as weird or kind of crazy as these last three chapters of Judges appear on the surface, we realize when we get into them and look at them that they do have some valuable lessons to teach us about our own attitudes about other people and our own attitudes about leadership and how following the right leadership can keep us acceptable in God's eyes, and how being led away by our own thoughts or men's thoughts can cause us to stray away from God. As always, when we get together to study the Word of God, we never want to miss an opportunity to invite anyone who needs or desires the services of the church to come forward while we stand and sing the invitation song.